is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Having a child with autism is one of the biggest challenges a parent has to face. At Autism Parenting Magazine, we know there are moments of sadness, anger, and exhaustion. Many times, you feel alone and need support from the autism community. That's why we created the award-winning Autism Parenting Magazine. Every month, we feature the latest coping strategies, therapies, and expert advice for autism parents to inspire and bring hope. Join over 37,000 readers today and get a free issue of Autism Parenting Magazine by going to autismparentingmagazine.com.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals. Cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interests in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Dream Vacations Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. On today's show, I have a very special guest who's a proud father of a child with autism. He's from Vermont. He's a stand-up comedian and a storyteller. And we really look forward to speaking with him about his journey with autism. I'd like to give a warm welcome to the program, Michael Ray Kingsbury.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
Great. Mike, it's great to have you on with us today.
It's great to be here, Paul. Thanks very much. I'm very excited about this. I've done a lot of research about autism. It was just great to hear that Autism Radio is there, and the stuff that you guys have done has just been incredible. So I'm honored to be on it today.
Well, we really appreciate that, and we're trying to bring the whole community together here, share stories of, you know, whether good or bad, but you know, kind of makes everybody feel a part of a big community here, and we really love that and enjoy sharing everybody's story. So,
absolutely. Well, the sharing stories is really the thing that it's all about. I know that's, you know, when my son was first diagnosed, you know, just hearing other people's stories, I remember people were like, you know, got to reach out for services, which they're important. But I remember the biggest thing was to listen to parents, especially people that were like my age at the time. We were young 30s, Gen Xers just having a kid. And it was just great to hear stories from people that have been there and that could just kind of guide us, because those are the things that really were the fulcrum and helping us really be great parents, which I think we are.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, if you wouldn't mind, just take us a little bit on your journey, how
Absolutely.
Your son was diagnosed, and a little bit about your background with your child.
Sure, sure. So I guess it was about, so my boy was born in 2007, had to pause for a second there, years
right.
go by. But, you know, within a couple years, we just noticed that things were not going the way that usually development goes. You know, there was kind of slow to talk, a little slower to walk, and just minor things. And it's all those little subtle things that you're kind of hypervigilant with when you first have a child. And our son is our only child. He's the golden boy, but which he absolutely is. But so we have one kid, and we didn't have the basis of another child to really kind of relate that to. But we took him in for a check with a pediatrician, and they suggested we go to a childhood development clinic, which we did that at Dartmouth, and that's where we got the official diagnosis. But all along, we had had kind of a hint. I was in my master's program in psychology when my son was first diagnosed, and you never want to read the DSM at the same time, but I kind of said I wonder. And there were some hints, but the diagnosis kind of confirmed it. And then from there, parenting style was just totally different than we expected it. Not bad, just different. Had to be much more concrete in the way my parenting is. I'm naturally a very laid back, kind of vague guy, and I had to be very direct, to kind of help my son. But it has taught me quite a bit, quite a bit.
You know, a little bit about some of your background as far as what you do. I know you're a comedian. And
I like to think I am.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that, how you, cope with being a stand-up comedian and having a child with autism.
Well, I sleep very little. I try to sleep in between moments. But so my journey through comedy, it's kind of one of those. You always ask, when did you want to become a comedian? I think when I was a kid, I used to do sketches with friends, and it was just always really kind of for me a mode of expression. And when I was in college, I did some theater. It really wasn't until after college, in my mid to late 20s, that I was in the Second City, Cleveland, Second City Theater, which the big one's in Chicago. But I went to their affiliate program in Cleveland, which, like Chicago, big theater. Like you get, like Tina Fey came out of there, or John Belushi. Chicago, we weren't quite at there. Cleveland, we weren't quite at that level. The biggest one that we had come out of there was the hostess of the Food Network show, How to Boil Water. But it's still kind of a place where we kind of honed our comedy chops. And then from there, I moved back to Vermont. I got the chance to move back to Vermont. And when I first moved back here, there really wasn't a comedy scene. We sort of built it from that moment. Started doing improv shows. I host stand-up comedy shows around Vermont and upstate New York, and I also do storytelling. The other thing is I started teaching comedy at college here, so eventually the local community college saw me in the paper enough. They said, hey, you have a master's degree and you're a comedian. That qualifies you to teach other people to do what you do. And the key with that is that I have made enough mistakes in the world of comedy to be able to tell people what not to do, to kind of learn from my mistakes. But that's kind of my brief vita of how I got to where I am. But in addition to that, really, humor is kind of, to me, it's more than just something that we have in a daily. It's really a method of how I get through life and how I look at life. And I think it's really the most important part of my parenting with my child, because you have a lot of ways to look at things. You can look at a situation and let it kind of devastate you. And there's moments that are difficult for me, but I always try to tease out what's funny in that moment. And it kind of makes memories much stronger, but it also kind of puts things into perspective. So it makes, I think my parenting is a lot stronger from being a stand-up comedian.
Well, I think, we all have to learn how to laugh. I think that's really important when
Absolutely.
You're a parent, especially these child, you have to have a very good sense of humor. And it's real important, really, really important.
I think, too, having a sense of humor, to be able to have a sense of humor, and a respectful sense of humor. I mean, there's this funny dichotomy when I do comedy, a lot of the comedy that I do, a portion of the comedy that I do, will be specifically about living with a child that has autism. And in that, Paul, the line that I walk is that I never, ever want to insult or make fun of the spectrum, or anybody for that matter. What I really want to do with humor is to kind of uplift and celebrate the spectrum, but at the same time have people laugh at aspects of my life that are kind of day to day, because so much of it is. I mean, it's not just me that has a child that doesn't want to go to school in the morning and I'm wrestling with him to get him in my Kia Soul to get him up to the school. It's not just me that might have difficult moments at a playground, and it's not just me that has these great moments like when we're snuggling last night watching Minions. It's everybody. So I try to use comedy in a way to show people what the uniqueness is of my experience, but also to really uplift the actual world of autism, because that's something I never want. I always want to make people understand that my experience is unique, but it's like everybody else's.
No, that's great, Michael. You know, it's such a great thing what you're doing. You know, is entertainment so important too in general, because it takes us away, you know, from the everyday grind of everything that Absolutely. We're going through in our lives, and it's so important. I think comedy plays such an important role in the world. I mean, everybody sometimes, you know, you don't want to watch the news. You want to watch a sitcom, or you want to watch a comedy mm-hmm. just to kind of take yourself out of that. And someone like yourself, you know, bringing joy to people and entertaining, it's such a great thing. You know, we also noticed that, you know, you wrote a story that was published yes. on The Mighty. I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this is a story about flying on an airplane with my son. It actually was, it's funny that, so this is a story that I've done at a few storytelling festivals, and it's had very good response. And it's a story that happened, it was actually about a year after his diagnosis. And at the time, there's aspects of the story that are very funny, but it's also very universal. At the time when the actual story happened, I don't think I could have written it at that moment because I didn't have the perspective. The actual elements were happening to me at that time. We were flying to see my wife's family out in Rockford, Illinois. I love the Midwest, but Rockford is not, it's not San Francisco. It's not like we're using the week's vacation time to go to someplace exotic. We're seeing family. So from the get-go, it's a difficult flight. And also to take a child that has a diagnosis of autism, that's a difficult place for them to be. It's difficult for me to sit on a plane and try to behave and not have, you know, the pressure affects my ears, and just to be able to act appropriate in that situation. But it was a real challenging flight. I know for me, it was a fear to have to take him on a plane. And I remember thinking, you know, the worst is absolutely going to happen and people aren't going to understand. But in those moments, I always find somebody who has a shining moment. And this guy, the last person on that plane that I thought would understand, made everything great to me. So in one sense, it was a horrible experience, but I've been able to rewrite it as what it is. It's a learning experience. It's a really wonderful memory.
And how was the response after you wrote this? What kind of a response you got?
I remember the first time I wrote the story, or the first time I told the story. It was at a large theater up in Burlington, Vermont. And there was moments of just, I could hear people going, ah, there's moments of understanding, moments of laughter. But then afterwards, people were coming up to me and said, you know, the special thing about that story, I've been in that same situation. I know what you're talking about. And what I love about, I didn't even anticipate this was going to occur, but what I love about the story is that, yes, it's about autism, but it's also really about a universal experience. So it's funny because I wrote it really to talk about an experience with me and my son and my wife and my son, but it ended up being something that everybody could get. But it's also about autism. So those are the moments that I love, too. It's where I explain something that's very personal, but it ends up being something that everybody gets. So because we're really just all part of one world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and speaking about autism, how did that change you as a comedian, I guess? Because, you know, whether you're material or whatever it might be, how did it change you, you think?
I think that... Well, before, when my son was born, I had taken some time off. I had taken a little bit of time off in between, you know, doing stand-up and improv when I was in Cleveland, and then what I'm doing now. So there was a little bit of transformation over that period of time. I think that, for me, when I got back involved in comedy, my son's a little older at the point when I got back involved in comedy, but I think there was a little more of a maturity of what I was looking at, as opposed to when I was younger. It's a very topical, very quick, very culture-based things. Not that I don't enjoy that now. I watch Netflix. I love, you know, Sons of Anarchy and things that everybody loves. But I think that my comedy went from being something that was about items in our daily life to being something that's more personal about me and about my family. There was a fear in that, because when I start talking about myself, I'm opening up, you know, the ability for people to begin to evaluate that. There's also a fear in not saying the right thing or saying something wrong and disrespecting my family. However, it is my experience. Autism, living with my son is my experience. So those are the things that I have to bring out. So, yeah, I think there was a maturity, but it's also I live with autism every single day. So somehow I have to explain this to everybody. And I think comedy does it well because it just normalizes everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very bold and brave thing to do, to talk about your personal experience, because it might not always been good times and fun times either.
And it could be painful. It hasn't. I wish I could say that life is always roses and roses, yes, and clementines.
Absolutely.
But it's not. And the reality is it's not for all of us. That extends beyond families or people that have children with autism. There's a lot of really difficult things that happen. And, I mean, I think I learned that more by meeting more people. Sometimes I've sat in my own moments and been like, wow, things are really difficult. But when I start writing about it and start finding the funny in it, people will hear those jokes, and it's interesting. I was in a bar, and I did this joke about explaining echolalia, that it's when my son speaks in echolalia, it's really interesting because you never know what type of answer you're going to be. And I'm assuming, I probably should give a premise. See, people, echolalia is where children will get scripted, and they'll kind of repeat things that they see on TV. And my son will speak in that. And I kind of explained that. I was in a bar, and I kind of explained that. And I said, you know, my house is so cool because you never know what type of answer you're going to get to a basic question like, what do you want for breakfast? And my son might say, I like the smell of napalm in the morning. Pixar remake Apocalypse Now? And people just started laughing. But there were people that were coming up to me afterwards. So, like, you explained that very well, and it's just interesting to be able to kind of bring people into your world through humor in a positive way. And yeah, it's a way to kind of relate to a larger audience and kind of explain something that people weren't exposed to before.
Well, I think it also helps educate people that might not know a lot about autism as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In kind of a nice way too,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think my aim in doing comedy is to be, I mean, I'm always an advocate for autism, but my aim is not to have that be the major focus. But I can't divide my life and my experience and my son's reality from what I do, because comedy is the whole of me. When I perform, I'm giving people the whole of me. And I think I think my son likes it too. I mean, I do my jokes. I try them on my son. He doesn't get it. He's got a different frame of reference. He's on an 11-year-old's frame of reference. My stuff, he thinks, is for an old guy, and he's right.
Yeah, no, that's true. So what do you got coming up next for yourself? What do you got?
So this Friday, I'm going to be in a show called Extemporaneous Storytelling, and I'm going to be telling a story in Barrie, Vermont. And this winter, so starting on December 21st, I am running a 10-week comedy competition at the Outback Pizza in Killington. We're bringing comedians from all over New England. If there's any comedians in the New York area, they want to come up to do a competition. This is going to be a great opportunity. But it's going to each week, I'm hosting a series where 10 comedians are going to compete. The winner of that week is going to go to the finals, where they're going to compete for cash prizes and bragging rights.
That sounds great.
Awesome. We've already got a great lineup. The first three shows are booked. They've got people that are coming up, and it's a great place for people to go to. So it's going to be hopefully going to be a great ski season.
Now take us back a little bit. When you wanted to be a comedian, who did you look up to? Who was your comedian that you loved, I guess?
You know, that has changed over time. Because I think as I age, my perspective and what I think is funny really, really, really changes. When I was first starting to do comedy, my favorite was Robin Williams. And really for the ability to be so freeform and improvise, but also the thing I loved most about Robin Williams is that people associated him as a funny man, but he could go and do something like Dead Poets Society and Good Will Hunting. And that's what I love, is when a comedian can transform from pure comedy into doing drama. And it's just neat to see that change. It shows how diverse a comedian can be. I'm also a huge fan of Patton Oswalt. He does a lot of his comedy is based on his experience with his child, his experience with his family, and he's very much, he's a Generation Xer, so I really, really identify with his viewpoints on the world.
Okay, that's great. You know, it's always nice to hear from a comedian who was your, you know, inspiration or who you kind of, you know, wanted to be, you know, because...
Jim Carrey as well. I liked when I was doing improv, I always used, you know, people would, there's this fear of doing something physical. When I was doing improv at Second City, I would always be the first thing. I would do something physical before even saying a line. So there's this thing where people will start some physical motion and then turn it into a character. And I would do that basically because I didn't know what I was doing. But I used to love Jim Carrey's ability to do that.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that someone could stand in front of a mirror and make all kinds of faces and become famous, right? Pretty crazy.
He's a raw talent. Yes. He's absolutely, yes. Well, not just a raw, he's a polished talent.
Yeah, so. No, he's pretty incredible, absolutely. I'm a huge fan myself. So what do you got coming up? I know you might have a book coming up you've been working on.
Yes. So I have submitted this particular story to a major feel-good book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and I'm hoping that might be considered, but it has yet to be seen. So I'm holding on that. Aside from that, I do some submissions to other publishers. So it's just short stories to other publishers. At some point, I would like to do a collection of short stories. I'm still trying to amass a body of work. Some of them are related to autism. A lot of them are kind of different aspects on feel-good stories. But that's been my transformation this year. I went from being pure comedian, and somehow I've gotten this little knack of doing a feel-good story, which has been a new thing. It's not a direction I thought I would go comedically, but it's been a nice diversion.
Yeah, I guess a nice change of pace, a little something different.
Yeah. We all love a good story. I'm a sucker for a story that ends where everybody's happy. So, and the interesting thing about a feel-good story, there's always a moment of darkness in it. It's where you just think that nothing's going to work out, and then it all works out well. Sometimes not the way we think it's going to be, but, I mean, that is what life is.
Absolutely. It's a journey, you know, and you got to enjoy the journey.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, you don't know what the next day is going to bring. So how is your son doing now as far as, like, school and everything? And, I mean, you're seeing a lot of improvements in him in the last year or so?
Oh yeah, we're blessed with a very, very wonderful school. We're a wonderful school team, a team that just kind of gets it. So we've been really, really lucky with that. He's got really good teachers. He really enjoys going to school so much post the Thanksgiving holiday. I don't think that has anything to do with the school, but that's much more of him wanting to stay home, and he's been big into watching Minions and Paddington. But reality comes, and you got to go back to school. But yeah, he's got a really, really great school team. My son is very, very into the English language. He's a great speller. So he's got these real strengths that one of them is spelling, and he's just interesting to – I mean, the kid is spelling like Minions. I don't think I can spell Minions. In certain areas that aren't as strong for him, the math, just something he doesn't really like, but he's got that in common with his father.
Interesting.
Long story short, I am pleased with where he's going with school, and I see some great advances with him. You always see something new coming out.
I mean, that's exciting as a parent, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of the things, you know, I was going to ask you, anybody, any websites or anywhere people can maybe reach you? Are you Comedian for Hire?
So I've got a Wix site that, let me see if I can get you the full, and I'm going to have to go on my iPhone to do it here. But I have my own webpage. Is Mike Kingsbury, all lowercase, MikeKingsbury, .wixsite.com/storytelling.
Okay, great. And, you know, be sure to send that over to me, Mike, and we'll definitely put it up on autismradio.org, too.
Cool. I will hyperlink that. I'll copy that now, and I'll send it to you.
Okay, that's great. But, you know, if there's anything else that you'd like to mention before we go, we really enjoyed your time on the program today and talking with you.
Great. Not that I can think, Peter. It's been just fantastic to chat. But yeah, it's if people want to check out that particular story that I wrote, is actually on The Mighty, and the name of it is "To the Cool Guy on the Plane Who Recognized My Son Who Had Autism," or "My Son Had Autism."
Yeah, we'll be definitely putting that up on the autismradio.org website, too.
Excellent.
So people can
They're
read
just,
it.
Those are wonderful people to work with. The Mighty has, they've just got stories that are so uplifting, and it's just great to be associated with that actual website. I've been just very pleased with them. They're responsive, and they really want to put a positive face on all of just mental health, and it's been great to work with them.
No, that's great. It is a great site, and I've been on there many times. They do some great stuff. But we really enjoyed speaking with you today. And
great. Well, Peter, it was great speaking with
yes,
you.
Yes, thank you so much. And we'd like to thank Michael Ray Kingsbury for spending some time with us here on Hope Saves the Day today. And we'll be sure to have all those links up on the website. You'll be able to get them on autismradio.org. If you also have any questions, you can email us at questions@autismradio.org. And don't forget our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. If you have any questions or anything you'd like to add to the program at any time. As always, we'd like to wish everyone a great week. Until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember, hope saves the day.